them earlier here this afternoon in our service, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. We'll do things a little bit different this evening. 2 Samuel 23 is where we will be, and we'll look at our text just a little later on in the message. But I want to open up here this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, and ask this simple question that you may be able to ponder and ask yourself. Is what do you think it takes in your life or the life of another to be successful or to succeed or to win? In your heart, in your mind, what do you require to determine success in your own life? When you sit down and you make your statement, you make your plans, your goals, your vision, what do you believe at the end of the story will say, I am successful in this? And then you fill in the blank. And this is what we want to look at tonight in light of this mighty warrior, Benaiah, a tremendous man of God. I love preaching and teaching on him. I love thinking about what he, battle strategies he had. We know that we taught on him in the Alphas class on the Wednesday night. This is not a repeat of that Bible study, but we will relate to a few points here and there. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his word tonight, and we'll get to it. Father in heaven, thank you again for all that you've done and who and what you are. And we pray tonight that you give us glory, honor, and praise. Father, we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. We pray, Father, whether it be in whatever format, that your word would go out across, Lord, into the ears and the hearts of men and women and children, and you would touch and tender their lives. And Lord, we pray the end result, if we're going to measure success in any way, let us measure it tonight by a soul wonderfully and gloriously coming to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. So what happens in a person's life that determines their success? When you look at people in the world today, and we look at from the business field to the military forces to the gridiron to the pitch, whatever it may be, how do you determine they are successful? Some people may say by the amount of income they make or their revenue each year. Some may say how many clients they have. Others may say how many materials they sell or how many points they earn. But I'm going to ask you tonight, what determines success in your life? Bernard Montgomery, the famous British field marshal, said that leadership is the capacity and will to rally men and women to a common purpose and the character which inspires confidence. That's from a military perspective, you'd say that success would be. I mean, from a sports perspective, I mean, you guys know I'm an Alabama fan. I mean, to date, they have well over 900 official victories in Alabama football. Bear Bryant said the price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. From a business perspective, some may say that success falls between goals being met and goals being achieved. One once said that goals are to be set up which align with the mission statement. With each goal attained, there must be at least three to four levels pre-planned to work toward following each successful achievement. So, beloved, we've seen great leaders in our life. We've seen them in our world. We've seen them from the business world. We've seen them from the pitch, the gridiron, wherever it may be. We've seen leaders excel beyond the mind's imagination. Each one of these leaders have proved their success in their field of choice. Whoever you may be thinking about right now. Depends on who that is, whether it's an athlete, whether it's a businessman, whether it's a preacher, a missionary, a biblical character. But you know one thing is true with all of them? One thing is absolutely, positively true with anyone who has had any level of success in this world today that didn't happen by accident. If it's going to happen, if success is going to happen in your or my life, it's going to happen on purpose. It's going to happen on purpose, guys. It happened by every piece determining for a specific purpose in that particular life. It happens by every pattern designed for a specific position. It happened by every part designated for a specific protection. No matter where we are in this world today, success will never happen by happen chance. One once said that success is not owned. It's leased and rent is due every single day. Beloved, from the church house to your house, success is a goal that one must strive for in their life. However the perspective of success is viewed through a fractured lens, whatever it may be in your life, if success is going to happen, it's going to have to happen on purpose. It happens by doing all to stand. It happens by focusing on the finish line. It happens by laboring in the field. It happens through blood, sweat, and tears. It happens by sacrifice. It happens by willingness to do whatever the Lord asks you to do, when and where, and doing it whenever and wherever He wants you to do so. Why? So He may receive the glory. See, I believe tonight that men can be mightily successful in this world, but successful in areas that doesn't matter at all to God. Dr. Adrian Rogers said one time that his biggest fear was to be successful in something that doesn't matter at all to the Lord. So, beloved, I want to encourage you tonight and ask you again this question. How do you measure success? A full church house? How do you measure success? A full bank account? How do you measure success? And I want to say this to you tonight. You don't. When we begin to measure success, we become complacent in our own labor. We become complacent in our own labor by comparing ourselves among ourselves. At the end of the day, no matter what, no matter the numbers, no matter the goals, no matter the accolades, no matter the achievements, none of it will happen by accident. It's only going to happen by intentional interaction, interjecting oneself into what the Lord would have you do in this life. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We'll look in verses 20 through 23 tonight real quickly. The Bible says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down and also slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first of the three. David set him over his guard." I've heard many messages and many stories and illustrations and opinions on this man, this mighty warrior, Benaiah. He was one of David's mighty men. He was such a mighty man that he fought in battles with the enemies of God. And these were the special forces these men were. They were under David's direct leadership. Benaiah was sent over this guard, and he was more honorable than the 30 that we do read. Why he did not attain to the top three, I have no idea, but it really doesn't matter. But just in a few verses, we can learn about this man who was focused. He was fortified, guys. He was fueled for victory. There are many things that we do not know about the mighty man of God here. There's many things we don't know about David's mighty elite army. But there is one thing, again, I say that we know for sure. We know that all that they accomplished for David and all that they accomplished for Israel and all that they accomplished for God, none of it was done by happen chance. All of it happened on purpose. It happened on purpose, guys. So, beloved, there are three things, among many others, I believe, that doesn't happen by accident. They happen with purpose in our life. And the first thing that I want you to understand tonight, and we'll look here in these handful of verses, is that soldiers don't happen by happen chance. Soldiers happen on purpose. Look in verse 20 in the latter part there, if you will, and verse 20 and 21. It says in the latter part, and he also went down and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. I don't know about you, but I just love that story, man. I love that event. But I want you to picture this with me for just a moment. Here's this mighty man. Here's this mighty warrior, Benaiah. They're standing before him. There were two lion-like men of Moab that we read about in verse 20. The vowed enemies of God's people. The epitome, if you will, of those that want to see God's people destroyed. I mean, they were driven by lust, driven by vileness in their heart, driven by wickedness. A people who stood in the very opposition of God and everything that he stood for the entire existence. And yet this mighty soldier, this man of God, this David's mighty man, part of the elite special forces, went down and slew them in what appears an effortless battle. I mean, verse 20 says that he's a valiant man of Kabzeel. He slew two lion-like men. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. I mean, why is this important? It's only mentioned in a few words. I mean, if you ever start reading the Bible, and you hit some of those verses and you're like, man, I sure would like to know a whole chapter on that. Amen. God just gives us just a little bit. Just a little bit of, he pulls back the curtain just ever so slightly for us to see, get a glimpse of what this man was like. Only in a few words even to describe the event. I wonder why that's important. You know what's important, guys? When he looked at these two men of Moab, he didn't back down in the sight of opposition. Have you ever had your eyes, your heart, your mind set on doing something, and this is what you want to do, and all of a sudden opposition comes your way, and you're standing there before those two lion-like men of Moab, and you got to make a choice: tuck and run, or stand and fight. Now I understand that God interferes in our life at times, and it's always there for a particular reason. But I believe in all of my heart that there's too many times in the Christian's life today that the minute opposition comes, the very second the slightest bump in the road comes, they go, oh, God's probably trying to tell me not to do this. Real quick are we to stop and duck. He did not back down in the sight of opposition. He did not fail in the situation of oppression. He did not falter in the circumstance of offense. This event happened, and we only have a handful of words to even know about it. But it happened because the mighty man who placed his faith in God and simply wiped out the enemy of God's people. I mean, what were these enemies like? The Bible calls them lion-like men. I mean, they must have been wild, ferocious, furious in battle. I mean, you ever seen a lion fight? I like following those accounts, those animal accounts, to where, not the gross ones where they're like eating all the entrails. I know I'm not interested in all that stuff. But I'm talking about when these lions, when they really, you know, begin to fight. Lion's head is like, it's like that big. And then they just, I mean, that mass and that muscle. And they just go at one another. And I mean, you're like, you're just waiting for one to win. And they'll push them off. I mean, it's just... you know, 500, 600, 700 pounds of two beasts fighting one another. And the Bible likens these two men of Moab to that. And here he is. Here's the soldier. Here's the soldier that happened on purpose. The Word of God likens them to an animal. They had animalistic characteristics. And yet the mighty man, this soldier, slew them. And what appears, again, we don't know. It appears in a simple task. So not only do we find him slaying these warriors of Moab, but he slew an Egyptian as well, another devoted enemy to God's people that we read about in verse 21. It says that he was a goodly man, meaning he was a man of great stature to look upon. He wasn't just a fighter, a warrior, a brawler. He was a man that looked the part, as well as walk the way. The simple sight of this man was to strike fear in the hearts of those who saw him. You ever known somebody like that? I mean, they had the look, they had the walk, they had the talk. Man, they were just, you know, fearful. But notice with me how this thing transpired. This Egyptian had a spear, the instrument of destruction, from far and near. A spear can be used in close hand-to-hand combat, and a spear can be used at distance, especially for someone who is talented in the art of casting that spear, taking their enemy out in the blink of an eye. Benaiah had a simple staff. I mean, to the observer, Benaiah was outmatched and he was outgunned. For lack of better terms, he brought a knife to a gunfight. But that's not what happened, was it? As we see this soldier step down to this Egyptian, he plucks the spear from his hands and he slays him with his own weapon. Guys, can I tell you that a soldier happens on purpose. A soldier doesn't wake up in the morning and just there. A soldier happens on purpose. Soldiers are developed, they're designed, they're designated, but mostly they're dedicated. A soldier's not easily offended. A soldier is accounted for in the in the time of duty. He or she are where they belong, always in the right place at the right time. A soldier is vigilant and relentlessly violent against the enemies of sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So again, beloved, I say this to you. Soldiers, they don't just occur. They don't just happen by happen chance. They happen on purpose. They happen on purpose. Soldiers are developed. They are designed. They are designated. And mostly they are dedicated. But secondly tonight, servants don't happen by accident. Servants happen on purpose. Servants happen by perseverance, guys. Perseverance. Would you look back at a few words in verse 20? As God begins to introduce Benaiah, he says, "And Benaiah," watch, he says, "the son of Jehoiada." Now watch these next few words. "The son of a valiant man." Guys, this soldier was not all grit and grind, but he was there with grace as well. He was a man with a servant's heart, ready and willing and able to serve the king at his beck and call. We find in verse 23 that he was more honorable than the 30. There's something to be said. Hey guys, there was men that was mixed into this crowd or this group of 30, this elite special forces, such as a man like Joab. Joab was crooked. He was conniving. Hey man, listen, Joab, for all of his faults, was a great warrior. But he was doing the wrong thing for the right reasons, or maybe the right thing for the wrong reasons. Who knows? But he didn't have any honor. Not Benaiah. Benaiah was not just a soldier, my friend. He was a servant. And the Bible records him in the eternal record and gives it to us today as the son of a valiant man. And it says that he was more honorable than them all. Well, if it's one thing to have strength and ability, it's another thing to have dependability and integrity. The willingness to do the right thing, even at a great cost. This great warrior, this established soldier was seasoned with grace, having the dependability and the integrity to become a servant of the Most High God. We are instructed to be soldiers, and soldiers are important. We must be a soldier, but we must be a servant. God looks down at that day and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Look in verse 23. Look in the latter part of verse 23 with me and notice what it says. It says that he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first of the three. And David set him over his guard. Now look at this in this manner. Here is a man who is a mighty warrior. His accomplishments outweighed nearly everyone else. And yet, he was not accounted amongst the first three of David's mighty men. And this may have meant that he didn't get to sit at the highest seats. It may have meant that he didn't get to sit around the main table. Who knows what it means? But we know that he served valiantly nonetheless. He didn't attain to the top three, and he didn't quit when he wasn't placed there. He wasn't concerned with who received the credit as long as God received the glory. 2 Timothy 2:24 tells us, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Coach Nick Saban of University of Alabama was asked one time, "What is the greatest threat to excellence?" And without hesitation, he answered, "Complacency." I heard the interview. I watched the interview. I watched it multiple times. I wanted it to be embedded into my heart and my mind. He said, "Complacency." Didn't blink an eye. He went on to say this. He said, "Being satisfied with where you are." He said, "Complacency creates a blatant disregard for doing what is right." He says, you can't do the thing you feel like doing. You have to choose to do the things that are going to help you accomplish the goals you have. When you are complacent, you lose the respect for winning. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I believe in many of our lives, in many of our Christian lives tonight, we've become complacent to the idea of winning. Well, it's just the last days. Well, you know, our Lord's coming back. I'm going to tell you something. Every time I hear someone say that with that little Eeyore measly voice, I just want to stand up and shout, "Liar." You don't believe that no more than you're saying it. Because if you believed in all your heart that Lord Jesus Christ could and would and will come back in the next second, you would scream the gospel from the housetops and quit moping around saying it's the end of times. Again, beloved, a soldier doesn't happen by accident. A soldier happens on purpose. Soldiers are developed and designed and designated, but mostly they are dedicated. Servants do not happen by accident. They happen on purpose through perseverance. Servants are those with honor and integrity. But lastly, this evening, salvation doesn't happen by accident. It happens by performance. It happens on purpose through the servant's perseverance, through the child of God's performance. Beloved, if we will see souls saved in our life, it will come to pass by the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. The seeds planted and watered in the grounds of soul's heart will only occur by the working of those who have accepted the role of soldier and servant together. Grit and grace. It will happen by the soldier purposing in his heart to fight the battle of the mind and the spirit. It will happen by the servant allowing opportunity and preparation to meet together. It will happen when souls who have come to know the blessed grace of the Lord Jesus Christ are not willing to hide within their heart, but rather willing to exhibit the greatness of our Lord and Savior to the world. The latter part of verse 20 says, "He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow." Now, when we taught this Bible study, it still mesmerizes me that why he would even bother. Lion's down in a pit, probably going to die down there. It's snowing. There's so much in these few words of what happened that day, and I want you to picture it with me. The time of year was cold. The white snow had covered the ground. The floor would have been wet. It would have been slick. Not exceptional for moving, much less fighting. His vision would have been obscured by falling snowflakes and frozen breath. His walk would have been out of his comfort zone. And suddenly out of the corner of his eye, you see this movement. This massive structure begins to move. Yellow eyes locked on to their future prey. And right now he had to make a choice. You see, this mighty man had to make a choice to stalk or be stalked. Become prey or become predator. Attack or be attacked. The choice must be made. And in this warrior's life, it must be made quickly. I picture it like this. Try to picture it with me. Pupils dilate. Muscles contract, adrenaline rush. And at that time, where every script in the situation plays out with the man running and the lion chasing him, man becoming a meal, the things on this day would be different. This day would be different. The lion would become the prey. And as he fled, he would track him and in the newly fallen snow and into the pit. They would both go, a location not readily available for the man, not easily accessed. And only one would be victorious that day. Only one would live, and the other would perish. Beloved, this man was prepared and a purpose soldier. Through perseverance as a servant, he brought salvation into a land. So where does this apply with us tonight? My friend, it applies to us tonight to understand that you have a choice to make tonight of success. The choice is yours. I told you in the beginning, I asked you the question, how do you measure success? And I said, you don't. You don't measure success because that results in comparing one another to another. But what do? We take Peter's words. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, beloved, Satan is just like the lion of that day when this warrior slew him. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, seeking opportunities of oppression. He's seeking to slay your heart, my heart, the neighbor's heart. He's seeking to destroy our minds. He's seeking to wrap our emotions. He's seeking to have our soul. But Benaiah was a servant soldier to bring salvation to his land in those days by slaying that lion. He knew that if that lion was left to himself, if he was allowed to continue to roam and walk freely throughout the woods, he would do nothing but stalk men, women, and children. And lives would have been lost, many lives, possibly countless lives. The well-being of men, women, and children, the well-being of families were at stake. Therefore, listen carefully, I'm nearly finished. He went willingly, he worked diligently, and he won mightily. In our case tonight, there's a predator out in this world. He's walking about seeking to be made devour. He's seeking souls for their destruction. And as a soldier and as a servant tonight, we are to bring the knowledge and need of salvation to their hearts and to their minds, to everyone in our sphere of influence. But it's not going to happen by accident. It's only going to happen on purpose. If you're here today and the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way, maybe he's brought one person to mind today. Maybe he's brought one person to your heart right here, right now, that you know, if left to him or herself, that roaring lion is going to have him for prey. I'm going to ask you to pray for them tonight. Maybe you're here and you're listening online. Maybe you're watching online tonight and you're unsure of your eternal destination. Maybe you have never, ever come to the full conclusion that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now is the time. Today's the day of salvation. You say, preacher, could the Lord come back any moment? The Lord could come back at any moment, period. There's nothing holding him back. But I will tell you this. There's a force in this world who's walking about seeking whom he may devour tonight. And if you're a believer this evening, it is your duty to be the soldier. It is your duty to be a servant, to bring salvation on purpose to a world of lost sinners. If you know not Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it right there. There's no kicks, there's no sticks to jump over, there's no water to get into. That is what saves your soul. And just as Benaiah went down into that pit and slew that lion that day, tonight, the lion in your life can be slain by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believers, tonight, it's our duty to be a soldier. A soldier doesn't happen on accident, they happen on purpose. Christians, tonight, it's our duty to be a servant. They don't happen on accident, they happen on purpose through perseverance. It is our responsibility to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. It only occurs by performance on purpose by a soldier and a servant. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who and what you are and all that you've done. My heart and my soul, Lord God, just begs you this evening that if there be one person that is joined online, Father, or that may see this afterwards, if they know you not as Lord and Savior, that Lord, that you would impress upon their soul tonight to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, to accept the free pardon of sin. And dear Father in heaven, I ask of you tonight to please move upon your people, touch us and tender our lives, that we may forever, Lord God, continue to grow in grace. And that, Lord, we would be those soldiers on purpose, Father, those servants, Father, through perseverance, dear God, that we may see a soul saved through salvation by a performance of your people. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done, for who and what you are. We thank you, Lord, for the blessedness of this day. And we ask of you to go forward with us tonight as we depart one another. In Jesus Christ's most glorious name, we ask. Amen. And amen.